Hey, what's up? This is Rob. I'm the founder of Not Just a Phase, and I got a few quick announcements here before we start today's show. We've now monetized our airwaves and our ad space on Instagram. So if you think your brand or product would make sense to work with us, please shoot us an email at notjustafacesubmissions@gmail.com. If you don't like listening to ads, feel free to subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/notjustafaceworldwide. It's ad-free. It's got video podcasts and a bunch of other exclusive content, and it's only $2 a month. Today's episode of Not Just a Phase is brought to you in part by Pugdale Fest 2. Welcome to Pugdale. In Ferndale, Michigan, on June 28th to the 30th, don't miss your chance to see over 150 amazing live bands, including some friends of ours we've had on the podcast previously, like Short Fictions, Dreamwell, Kerosene Heights, Heavenly Blue. The festival's going to have an art battle, short film fest, some comedy showcases, and a bunch of other stuff. Their flyer is pinned to our Instagram page at Not Just a Phase Worldwide, and you can use code NJAP2024 at the checkout, and you'll receive a discount on your ticket purchase. So now let's get on with the show.
Oh, I lost your audio.
Am I coming through okay?
Yeah, now you are, yeah.
Okay, I have like a detached mic. I need to buy like an actual like quality microphone one of these days, but yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and cut the intro right now.
Cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, trans and non-binary punks of all ages and denominations, welcome back to another episode of Not Just a Phase, and thanks for joining us in our fourth season. If you're new here, let's go ahead and get this out of the way really quick. We're online at notjustaphase.net. We're on Instagram and TikTok at notjustaphaseworldwide. We're on Twitter at NJAPworldwide. And we have a Patreon with video cuts of the podcast, bonus content we've made, if you want to help support the expansion of our podcast and Blogspot, and all the other content that we want to create for you guys. We do also have a free category if you kind of just want to run a trial period and see what it's about. We do have some interviews available just for free for on the house, just so you can know what we're all about. Of course, we want to give a shout out to our editing team, Blocko Media. We're also the boys from Modulo Lunar. Make sure to check them out and give them a follow. They do fantastic work for us, and we're huge fans of their band as well. They really make us want to come to Brazil in a number of ways. So there are bands that we love, and then there are the bands that we revere, and then there are the bands that are the basis of our foundations and our progenitors, who didn't just change how we do things, but rewrote the whole playbook on how it's done. And we're very lucky to have Adam Marino, who is one of those people. Adam's been in a prolific number of incredibly sick bands, most notably Seisha, but also Instructions, Air Type 11, and Fires as well. All really great bands with really great discographies that we've been able to plumb while we were doing our research for this interview. And we are just super grateful to have Adam on the podcast today. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm doing good. Thank you. It was a busy day at work for me, but it's been all good. So why don't you give us like a little short like bite of like what you've played in, who you've play with, like all that stuff for the viewers at home,
Sure. I play guitar and occasionally scream in Seisha. I play bass in Error Type 11. I played bass in a band called Fires, which went on to be God Fires Man, and also a band called Instruction. And then currently, along with Seisha and Error Type 11, I play guitar in a band called Attempt Survivors. This is Adam. You're listening to Not Just a Phase. This is From the Firmament by Seisha.
Yeah. That's quite a resume.
It
I mean, anyone would
is.
be impressed.
Thank you. That was some intro. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you're Adam. I it's crazy how much I almost default into just doing the Nardwar thing. I don't know if you're
Oh,
familiar with
yeah.
Nardwar, where he's like, "You're Adam Marino, we have to do it." Like it's
What gifts did you bring for me today, though? That's the question.
you know what? They're actually all in the mail
Okay,
because
perfect.
in my research I found your home address. I'm just kidding. No. But I do know you're out in San Diego right now.
I am, yeah, I've been living here for 11 years actually now.
Oh wow, that's so cool. I'm from Orange County, so we
Oh,
are
sweet.
this coastal alignment was very beneficial to me. So
Yes.
because sometimes, there Rob's like, can we do like 6 p.m. EST? And it's like, that I'm still at work, man.
Yeah, he's in is Canada, is that correct?
Yes, he is in Ontario.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it's the province. I'm so bad at Canadian geography.
I am as well. I've
Yeah.
only ever played in Vancouver up until this, we'll be playing New Friends in August, so I'm really
Yes.
excited to get over there.
Oh yeah, there it's Toronto's awesome and like the scene's incredible. I went to New Friends last year for the first time for me, and everyone has always talked about it as like screamo summer camp, and it really is genuinely like screamo.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that show.
Yeah. It's gonna be sick, and we will definitely talk a little bit more about that soon. But in the beginning we like to kind of go over as a podcast, we're always curious like what our guests are listening to. Like, are you a podcast person at all? Like, do you have something you really like?
I actually listen to a lot of podcasts
Nice.
because at work all day, I'm listening to music and I'm talking all day. So I like when I'm in the car to just listen to conversations and not have to participate in them. So actually, I do listen to a lot of podcasts. And actually, I drive my son to school every morning, and it's something we've kind of having a teenager, you try to bond on whatever
Right.
you possibly can. And so we enjoy listening to together. He really likes, well, we both really like the Disgraceland podcast. I don't know
Okay.
if you've ever heard that
I don't think
before.
I know that one. What's that
It's
about?
kind of like it's like a true crime, but like it's all based on music. So like
Oh.
they'll have an episode on like Jimi Hendrix, and they'll have an episode on Oasis, and it's hosted by this guy Jake Brennan, who was actually the singer of a really sick hardcore band back in the day, or post-hardcore band called Cast Iron Hike.
Okay.
And which everyone should check out. They were really
All right.
good. But
Sick.
yeah, he has this podcast, and he has another one called Badlands, which is basically more on like Hollywood, like actors and stuff like that. The same premise, like true crime type of thing. And that's the only kind of stuff like that that I listen to. But mostly I'm listening to I listen to a ton of like interview-based podcasts. Like
Okay.
I love WTF with Marc Maron and like Washed Up Emo and The New Scene and I don't know, some stuff like that. David Cross has a great one called Senses Working Overtime. So yeah, a bunch of things like that.
100 words, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what
That's
I mean. I'm sure you've probably checked it out. That's another one of my favorites, personally. That
a
and
great podcast.
Jeremy Bulme's First Ever.
Oh yeah, and of course Jeremy's podcast. Like there's
Yeah.
so many I listen to
I
that
yeah.
I'm bouncing all over the place with them.
Yeah, right. It's like when you have a huge library and you're like, God, should I sell some of these? Like, I don't know what to do with it all.
That's why I don't watch TV anymore, because I just feel like there's so many shows that it's like so overwhelming that I'll spend like an hour just going through what I could watch instead of picking something.
I that's yeah, that's so painfully real. Damn. That's
Yeah,
100% me. My God, should I? And then I rewatch something I've already seen 3 times.
it's comforting, right? Because you just know what you're getting into.
Yeah, not into the unknowns right now, which is,
Right.
I'm sure everyone can agree and identify with that. Rob usually likes to check and see too, like what other hobbies and passions occupy your free time aside from like music primarily, or if music is the primary thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton of time having, two kids and owning a business, and so really and having kind of three active, fairly active bands, doing music is my free time.
Right. Yeah, and the podcast listening, I'm sure.
Yeah, but
I'll qualify that as a hobby since you
yeah,
have an
sure.
extensive,
That's just my time in the car. I mean, when I lived in New York, I always had a book in my backpack, like, because that was my time to read being on the subway. But living in California, I drive everywhere now. And so it's kind of replaced that by just having podcasts and Audible occasionally if there's a book I want to check out.
Okay, I was going to ask if you do the audiobooks too, because I know that some
Yeah.
people are kind of, I'm a little like burnt on podcasts, so I'm kind of gravitating towards the audiobooks. So,
Yeah, if there's something that's like recommended to me that like sounds like something that's up my alley, I'll definitely check it out.
okay, very cool. So also, we like to really kind of get into, I'm sure you've told this story a couple times, but we really are always curious about like the nitty-gritty of like, what was the album that like pulled you in, right? Like, were you at a show and then like all of a sudden you're like, punk music is my life? Did you find something at like, a Kmart and you were like, oh, what's that? It's got a cool cover. Like, how did you kind of first discover like punk and like get into the scene and everything?
I discovered punk fairly early around, I was probably like 11 years old, and it was because I'd been listening to a lot of music prior to that, but what I was introduced to before that was probably just like my older brother like playing like classic rock stuff for me. And then I had a friend with an older brother who was into the New York hardcore scene. And just going over his house, he would play us records, So I think my first memory of a hardcore listening to hardcore was Cro-Mag's Age of Quarrel. And this is
Ah,
probably
nice.
around 1987. So I was like 11 years old.
Damn, that's a
And
crazy
so,
album to hear when you're 11.
right. When, yeah, exactly. And I've said this before, I wasn't like, oh, I love hardcore now. It's like, I was just so, it was, I'd never heard anything like that before. So it was kind of like, sounded kind of scary in a way, and I something I liked it, but I wasn't like, this is my thing now, so yeah, I just that was like first hearing it was w through him, and he played us a bunch of stuff, and at the same time he also played us like the Smiths, so I was kind of hearing all this stuff at around that time,
That's a lot of
and
seminal shit to hear in one sitting,
yeah
or not one
it
sitting, but like from one person.
Yeah,
That's
just
incredible.
co kind of going over to their house. He would always play us stuff. And then I think, within those next couple of years, it was really MTV between watching Headbangers Ball, 120 Minutes, and Yo MTV Raps. Like those three shows are like my, that's like my DNA right there. Those three, hearing all of that stuff in the late 80s was just, that's what formed me. Musically.
It's hard to like kind of communicate this idea to, maybe a younger audience who doesn't watch TV in the same way, but like MTV really was like I like the way I found Judas Priest was from like Beavis and Butthead. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we had to tune in for that kind of stuff.
I'm sure a lot of people like learned about bands through Beavis and Butthead. That was a little bit later. I was older at that point, but yeah, that's how I learned about so much music was just by those three shows. And that was like, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That was like Friday, Saturday, Sunday right there. And you got all this completely different music, but I loved all of it.
I mean, that's just so cool. And yeah, that's really like, oh man, that era of MTV was like truly wild, like
It
from
was
the
great.
80s into the 90s.
Yeah, but then hardcore didn't come back for me in more of like a real way where I was actually participating and started going to shows till more like I was in high school, like early like freshman year of high school. So, like 91, 92 is when I started going to shows.
Okay, do you remember like your first show or maybe like your first show experience? Like, maybe if you don't remember the lineup, like what that was kind of like.
Well, I think my first, like, because I'd gone to a lot of concerts, but they were mostly like in arenas and stuff like that. So I think my first concert, like my first show at a club, was Fugazi and Shudder to Think, at the Ritz in New York.
That's a crazy show.
Yeah, that
That's
was like my
awesome.
first like real like club show. And then from there, it was just like I was going to as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then I would say it was like over the next year or like, maybe then around 93, I started going to more like actual like local New York and like Long Island hardcore shows. Stuff like that was happening more.
Okay. And this was like, so you said between like 93, 94, right?
Yeah, like 93 to 95, it was like I was just going to like CBGBs and Wetlands, and out on Long Island there was a collective like run place called the PWAC, and they had a ton of like Long Island bands there. So yeah, just like getting into stuff, like there were bands from Long Island like Mind Over Matter and Vision of VOD, and I mean Glassjaw really early on when they were just starting. That was more like around like 94, 95, something like that. But Seisha actually played a show with Glassjaw in a basement on Long Island
Oh, wow. That's wild.
early on. Yeah, I don't know, like all, once you start going to shows, I mean, I feel like most people will experience this. It's like you go to your first one and that's all you want to do. So that was kind of my experience as well.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. Especially for if my I'm sure if anyone's first show was Fugazi and Shudder to Think, that'd probably be like a really strong hook, like into like being like, man, what is that all about?
Yeah, I mean it was a quick escalation for me because my first concert was Bon Jovi and Skid Row, right? And then it was like, and then it went to Metallica and Queensryche, and then it went
Damn.
to Anthrax, and then it was just like kind of slowly creeping more toward, I don't know, not heavier, because obviously, there was some heavy stuff in there, but like, I don't know, it's just a little bit more to the left.
Right, and towards like the underground a little bit
Yeah, a
more.
little bit more toward the underground.
Yeah. Oh man, that's so cool. I'm still tripping that like I mean, because Fugazi has obviously been deified in such a way now, especially like it's just like the idea of them playing with Shudder to Think and seeing that like as your first show, like that's so cool.
Yeah, it was insane, and it was $5. You know what I mean? It was like, yeah.
Times
Once
have
you,
changed.
yeah, I'm so thankful that I li lived in a time where I got to see Fugazi live. You know,
Yeah.
and a lot of like once you see them once, like I would see them every time they played.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Like that's like a you don't miss it when they come to town kind of show.
No. And they played quite often being in New York, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So I mean, I know we talked a little bit about you being from San Diego, like you've been living there 11 years. Do you I mean, it's you're super busy, of course. So, do you find yourself checking out like local music at all? Like, do you find yourself like maybe going to shows here and there if you can?
I go to a fair amount of shows, but
Okay.
I don't go to a lot of like punk or hardcore or screamo shows or anything like that.
Right.
The last show I went to like that, have you heard of the Shea Cafe here in San
Yes.
Diego?
Huge
Like,
fan.
yeah, okay, legendary venue. It's like
All right.
the ABC Nuria or the Gilman Street of San
Yeah,
Diego.
perfect analogy, man.
Yeah, so I went there a couple of months ago because Habak and Masanera were playing, and we had played with them in
Yeah.
different on different times of this whole reunion, and so they were in town, and I wanted to go support, and the show was so good, and it was so packed.
Yeah. The Che's been getting packed out a lot for that kind of stuff lately. It's really cool. Shout out Habak and Masanera, two very incredible bands.
Incredible bands and like nicest people too.
Oh yeah, just absolute sweethearts all around.
Yeah.
Okay, it's but like you're not like really like there's like a local band in the scene, maybe not punk or screamo that you're like super into because San Diego's got a great music scene.
Yeah, it's got a great music scene. Obviously, like I love Def Club is incredible.
Right. Yeah.
I will go when they play, I'll go check them out. And then having played with them in LA was incredible. My buddy Mike that is from San Diego, he plays in a couple of awesome bands. He plays in Human Resources, who also played with us in LA, and plays in a band called Bayonet as well. Both really great bands. Yeah, that's kind of, and there's actually there's a not non-hardcore band that I just learned about and have been really digging, this band Pleasure Pill from San Diego, and they're more of like a Brit pop band. Like they sound like
Oh.
they came out of like Manchester in 1989.
Oh, that's pretty sick, actually.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I haven't had a chance to see them yet, but my friend Rob posted a video of them playing, and I was like, wrote down like, who is this band? And he's like, oh yeah, this is my friend's kid's band. You know, I mean, they're so young. They're like 19, 20 years old, and but they're like nailing this aesthetic so well. And so
Yes.
I just haven't had a chance to go. They've played a couple of times, but I haven't been able to make it out. But a band I really want to go see.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. All right. Pleasure Pill. Check that out, guys. If you love the Britpop stuff, which
Yeah.
I'm always like, that's like a hard sound to like nail really well. It's one of those things where it's like you can do it, and you can hear it, but like to keep people coming back, like that's like a tough endeavor, I feel like.
Yeah, and also, I mean, just from like looking at pictures of them, it's like they've kind of like they've just got it dialed in, which I always appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's rad. So, I mean, kind of almost like conjoined with that is we like to ask, is there a band that you really love right now that you don't think is getting enough attention? They don't have to be like local, doesn't have to be within the genre, doesn't have to be like a super current band, but is there like a band that either you saw on tour or that you saw at some point that you've played with that you were like, you know what, like these people just really do not get enough love?
There's this band that I really, they put out a record maybe a year or two ago. This band called, from Boston, called Pet Fox. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
Have you ever heard of the band Avlov?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like one or two of the guys from Avlov, it's their like it's another band, like it's their
Okay.
side, it's like a second band, but like Avlov's way more known, I think, and
Right.
popular. But this band Pet Fox, they put out a record that I just fucking love so much. I don't even know how to, it's just like a good indie record, you know, but
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
it's just really great songwriting, sounds great. And I just, they're a band I just like, I keep trying to tell people about, 'cause I'm like, you gotta check this record out. It's just so catchy and
Yeah.
good.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll check that out. That's a great band name too.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess them, shit, I don't know. Anyone else I feel like maybe, I feel like they're a band more people should know about, but there's a lot of bands that I, you know, love that, but then if
Right.
I think about it, I'm like, oh, they're pretty known, you know?
Yeah, they're beloved in their time.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
no, that's valid. So, all right, now let's get into the nitty-gritty of you, my friend.
Uh-oh.
So I was reading about, I've read like past interviews you've done and stuff, and I was like learning about like your play style and like every, like influences you draw, and I saw that you are a big Jane's Addiction fan.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know, I know we have like some younger viewers of the pod who maybe aren't as aware of Jane's Addiction. So I was hoping you could give them like a little primer on, not like, oh, maybe they're popular, maybe they're not, but in your opinion, what are your top three underrated Jane's Addiction
Songs?
songs or albums, whichever feels easier.
Well, I mean, I feel like if you know Jane's Addiction, I mean, to me, they're like a huge band, right? But it's so, when you say there are people that might not know, it's just so weird to me. It also makes me feel insanely old.
Yeah, that happens sometimes on here.
Well, anyone that doesn't know, they put out three, they've had more records, but their three original records went from when they were a band from like 86 to 91. They put out three incredible seminal records. And then they broke up, and then they reformed and put out a couple of not so great records, in my opinion. But
Yeah.
you know, it's not gonna, you know, I will always have love for that band because they are the reason why I play music. So, let's see, three underrated songs. I would say they have a song called Kettle Whistle, which was an old song of theirs, and they would play it live. Like, this is where I get nerdy with like bootleg stuff and
Let's
like,
do it.
but I've had like so many bootleg, again, dating myself, but I had like all these bootleg VHS tapes back in the day of them playing live. And this was like an unreleased song at the time, and then they had released it later on something they did when they got back together. And that version is like not that great, but if you can ever hear like a live version from like the late 80s of the song Kettle Whistle, it's just amazing. First song on Nothing Shocking, Up the Beach, is it's like instrumental, pretty kind of. There are some vocals, but it's not really like a sung, like lyrical song so much.
Right.
But that one is always, I feel like, is a really underrated, amazing song. And my all-time favorite song is called Then She Did off of Ritual, Daily Habitual. And I feel like that song kind of gets overlooked on the record, but it's my favorite.
Okay, cool. What was like your kind of like first introduction then? Because it's, I mean, this is the band that like drove you towards music. So like, was this also the same older brother who kind of like brought you in and was
No,
like,
this was a Headbangers Ball moment when I was
oh,
up, when I was up late. It was probably like, I don't know, like 11:30 or midnight, and I was like, 12 years old, and the video for Mountain Song came on, and it just, I was just like full on like poltergeist, like in front of the TV, just like could not believe what I was seeing and hearing. And that was it. It was just like, just totally blew my mind.
yeah, that's so awesome. I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to assume that no one's heard of Jane's Addiction because, yeah, they were like a massive band. They've had like some really classic, like huge rock stars in them. But like, you know, sometimes I just don't see kids talk about stuff like how they used to. Though I will feel, I wouldn't be surprised if Jane's Addiction became popular in the next like 5 to 10 years again.
It's
Because, you know, how
weird
like that
because,
cycle stuff.
oh yeah, for sure. I just think it's kind of weird because they did so much for alternative music, like that, if anyone's listening and doesn't know who they are, if you've heard of Lollapalooza Festival, the reason Lollapalooza ever happened is because of the singer of Jane's Addiction. Like, he created that festival in 1991, and basically Jane's Addiction headlined it, and it was their final tour before they broke up. And just like, and then, after they break up, then Nirvana happens, and it's kind of like everything kind of before that. It just seems, I feel like Jane's Addiction kind of paved the way for so much of that stuff to happen.
Right. Okay. So like the movement from like alternative rock into like kind of grunge, but like grunge also growing and becoming like sort of like a
Right.
mainstream rock movement. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. Yeah. Cause I know, I mean, I've noticed in your guitar playing across different projects too, maybe not so much Seisha, but in like Airtight 11 or in, you know, like Fires and things like that, you do have like a really distinct kind of, I'm not going to peg it as grungy, but like if, like it's like Foo Fightery meets like seaweed, like kind of like riffage. Does
Right.
that feel like kind of like am I in the right realm a little bit?
Well, definitely with Airtype 11. Airtype 11 is like, if anyone asks me what that band, like, what, like, clients will ask me, like, what kind of music do you play? And it's, I kind of hate, I always hate that question because,
Yeah.
well, with Seisha, I can just say, have you ever heard of Screamo? And it's like,
Right.
it's a pretty easy thing to peg, but like, with Airtype 11, I'll just be like, it's kind of just like a Foo Fighters kind of like a rock band. You know what I mean? I
Yeah.
don't, it's pretty straightforward. But then like Attempt Survivors, I never know how to describe that band at all. Like, I don't know what to say, So we get compared to Shudder to Think quite a bit in some aspects. But I don't know. Like, I think it's just kind of so all over the place.
Yeah, I wish that it would, if like, you know, like what post rock has basically become synonymous with instrumental music. But if I could like, if we could rewrite the book on that one, I would say that you guys kind of have like post rock in the sense of like what post punk is. Does that make
Right,
sense? I don't know if that's
yeah.
like a, it's like, yeah. So yeah, I could understand that being a little tough to describe to some people.
Yeah, it is. It's just because it's so, I just it we're pulling from so many different influences that it's just all over the place, which
Yeah.
I'm fine with,
Right, which, you know, of course. And like you've had like, it's cool that you've had like so many bands where you can kind of get like this taste and influence like out of you. You know, I know some people will kind of stick to like some bands that they play or like have played in, and then they kind of stick to a sound or like they let their influences only like kind of dominate in one place. But you know, like when you're writing stuff for Like, say, like when you were writing stuff for Station back in the day, like, what do you feel like drove more of that? Like, do you feel like there was the influence of, like, the Jane's Addictions and like the Foo Fighters and stuff like that in there, as well as like the NY hardcore?
Well, I think with Seisha, that when we were originally around, I think we had bands that we, the five of us, kind of liked together. But I think what made Seisha sound the way it sounded was that we all loved so many different things and were pulling from so many different things that, one person brought in, a riff, and the reaction to what someone else in the band played on their instrument to that was coming from something completely different. So I think that's what made the song sound the way they did.
I mean, that definitely there's like, I mean, it all sounds so cohesive, right? But there's so many parts that feel like they're in, like they have like a type of like arena rock background to them, or like, they have like jazzy time signatures in them.
Well, that's the thing, and that came from every different person, right? Like, when I write guitar parts, I'm not writing super jazzy, off kilter, weird time signature stuff. I'm always thinking about melody. That's like my number one thing. It's like almost like writing something catchy to kind of anchor something that's maybe a little bit more off kilter. That's just where my brain goes when I'm writing parts.
I mean, functionally, it's worked really well. It's translated super well live too.
But to
And
your point before, like I was listening, I had listened to your podcast with Jason from Orchid, and
no, thank
it's
you.
something that really what struck me that he said was, like, when he was talking about starting Panthers, he's like, I didn't I you know what he said, which I think holds true for me, is like I wanted to a band, my next band, to sound different. Like, I don't, it's like I'm already in Orchid. Like, I don't need to play in another band that sounds like Orchid. And I've always felt like, well, I've done this thing with Seisha, I don't need to do another band that sounds like Seisha. So I've
No.
always, like, and because I like so many different types of music, I've always wanted to explore different, parts of that.
Yeah, and I think you've done a really successful job, honestly. Like, just I mean, I knew about Aerotype 11, but finding like your other work and then, listening to Attempt Survivors and all that, it's just it really like shows your breadth as a musician. It was really cool to find out,
Oh,
because
thank you.
I think that there's sometimes, at least for me, I'm bad about this. Like, I get a one dimension when especially when I was younger, I had a one dimensional mind about like why isn't his next band a screamo band? Like, so it's nice to see the how much breadth you have in like with your talent. And I'm really curious too, like, because you've written different parts with different instruments for like so many different types of bands. Like, do you have like a favorite bass or guitar line from any of them that, like, if you like wanted to show one piece of like your body of work to someone, you say like, this is the one I want you to listen to? I know that might be
Wow,
tough, but
that's really tough. I don't know if you, I mean, I guess I can break it down. Like, Seisha, like, I always love playing, and From the Firmament, that song, that's a riff that I've always, when I wrote that, I was really excited to bring it to practice, and that song happened. I remember very quickly after bringing it, like, I felt like that song was written, the day I brought it in. Some songs that took a while because they might be a little bit longer, or you needed to figure out, transitions or whatever. And I felt like that one just kind of happened super quick.
Man, that's really cool. And so, I mean, the melodies in that song are really just sick, and like hearing it live is like really crazy. I feel like that was like kind of an unexpected thing, because we never know, like what's going to come up in a set list, and
Oh,
like
yeah.
everyone's got their favorites and deep cuts. Is that the one you love to play live the most, or is there another one who might be a contender for that too?
I love playing that one. I love playing Sweetness in the Light. And I love playing, I mean, I really love playing all of them, especially this time around, because people actually know them. And the energy has just been so incredible. But
Oh, definitely.
and then One Dying Wish is always just incredible to play live just for, kind of the back and forth with the crowd.
Yeah, watching people go apeshit to that song is there's really something special about it. When
Yeah.
I went and saw you guys in one of the New York shows, like the first time you guys came back,
Oh,
and
cool. It's at St. Vitus.
yeah, I think it was the Saturday one, and seeing that like live was crazy. I thought like everyone was just like I thought I'd never seen a collective mental breakdown happen at the same time. It was really intense. It was fantastic.
Yeah, those shows, I mean, that those shows were insane.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I really can't wait to see you guys play NFF. Like,
Oh, are you going this year?
yeah, I'm trying to go this year. We're hoping to cover it this year. We covered it last year, so I really want to go. And like, I mean, when I'm watching like that crowd, like that scene, and like everyone coming from all over and like being together all weekend, and then like all that culminating in last year, like the end with Page 99, like it's an incredible thing. So I know that watching all of that happen with you guys will be just like a life-altering moment for so
Yeah,
many people.
I've seen some footage of the fest, and it looks insane. It looks like that room looks so cool. Also, just
Oh, it's beautiful. It's like I can't believe they let them do that there. You
I
know what I mean?
would imagine everyone's pretty respectful though, and I mean
Oh,
they've been,
so much so. Yeah.
it and has that been the one space that they've used the entire time that they've been doing that festival?
I believe that I mean, for a while it was like very underground. Like I think they had it at like a local DIY spot that was like a basement or like someone's like back room or something. And then they started getting, as it started growing, they were able, I think, eventually to get into the Lithuanian house. And then I want to say they've been there for like the last like maybe 3, 4 years, maybe longer even, because it's only been last year, I think, was the seventh iteration. Maybe this year's the seventh. I forget. But yeah, I mean, like, this was my first one, but I've been watching it grow since like a few years back, and just God, this is so cool. I want to go so bad.
Yeah, they reached out to us last year to play it, but it just didn't work out with our schedule. So I'm glad we're able to make it happen this year.
Oh yeah, I mean the location's great. It's a beautiful spot. Everyone's super respectful. Like I said, it's like Screamo summer camp. It's like people you I'm probably going to be bunking with the same people I bunked with last year because we all loved hanging out with each other so much.
Oh,
It was like
cool.
it's like one of those things, you know? Yeah. Shout out the NFF Bungalow crew. So, I saw that you directed the Attempt Survivors video too. And I thought that
Let's
was
put directed in air quotes.
The directed the Attempt Survivors video too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's like kind of a unique experience, right? Like writing the music, playing the music in the band, and then also like getting to direct it, like because you had your time in the band and like, were a piece of it. Did that make the directing experience easier or like kind of trickier? Like, how was all that?
I mean, that whole thing just came out of necessity. It came out of like not having really money to hire someone to shoot a video. It came out of me being impatient, and it came out of like the kind of just DIY, world that I've come from. And so it was just like, I want to make a video. I'm just gonna do it. I've never done one before. It's not really high concept or anything like that. It's just a performance video, but it was a super fun experience. It was pretty easy because it's like it's my bandmates, so I can, it's I didn't feel bad about saying you're gonna need to play this three times, so I can get different angles and whatever. But I was really excited how it turned out because I shot it, I edited it, and I uploaded it all from my phone.
Man, that's super awesome.
So it never touched a computer. It was all done on my phone, and that's just fun, it's fun to just have done that.
Yeah, I mean that's so sick. And it looks really, it does look very cool. And it's wild how much you can do with just like a smartphone these days, truly.
Yeah, and that wasn't even like just I edited that on like there's an app called Clips, which just comes with your iPhone. It's not even like anything that you have to it's not like a special app you have to pay for or anything. So
Right. Damn, that's super DIY then. Not a cent was spent.
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I love that kind of thing. I wish that there were more music videos, you know, because we grew up in that era, right? Where like it was like, man, they got a new music video coming. Like this is gonna be so sick. Like build up in hype to the premiere, and it's such like an interesting artistic and visual medium, you know. And like you don't kind of see it as much. I've been seeing more come in the recent years, which is really cool. So I hope that maybe that
I
kind of
also think with
continues.
YouTube, right? Like it's just you can, you know, you're not waiting for MTV to play your video anymore. I mean, anyone can do it, right? You can just,
Yeah.
that's what's so amazing about it this time right now. It's like if you have the time and energy to do it, like just make it happen.
Yeah, we live in like an ease of access age, you know. You get GarageBand on an Apple computer like stock and standard. Like it's really awesome. And yeah, just putting that vibe out there. I think we started premiering music videos this year, and I was so excited because that's like such like a thing, right? Where like you grow up on music videos, and now like you get to premiere them, like it's so cool.
And not only music videos, but just like the work that you know Sunny is doing with
Yeah.
856, and like it's so incredible that you know you a show that you really wish you could have been at, you know, and it's never the same, right? Of watching it on YouTube, but like just still like you know if you couldn't make it to the show, you still have a chance to get really amazing footage of a show on there.
Yeah, and like kind of get that, like see what happened, you know? Because you hear
Yeah.
it, and you know, you used to, like even now, people who trade stories about the old days, right? Like, not every show got videotaped and documented. Not everyone had access to a camcorder. So there's a lot of word of mouth stories that exist about like really incredible things that have happened that we have no documentation. So yeah, it's a really cool era we live in where we can have all that together and in one place.
Yeah, and I still occasionally will check on YouTube like for a show that I was like, I wonder if someone taped that. And like, you know, years and years, I'll check on it like every once in a while. And then one day it's like happened so many times where it does pop up, like someone just uploaded it. And I'm like, holy shit, like I've been searching for this forever.
That's so cool. That's gotta be such a wild feeling where you're like, man, I really wish that the show I played like would kind of surface footage or something someday, and then to just see it pop up one day, like it's almost like magic.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking about like shows that I've played. I'm talking more like just bands that I love, like, you know, or things that I heard about. Like, do you know the band Burn?
Burn. No, I don't think so.
It's like they were on Revelation. It's Chaka from he then he went on to be an Orange 9mm, and Alan from Quicksand played drums, and it's
Oh,
just an
okay.
amazing band. But there was this show that was like a bootleg 7-inch that went around for years, and I had the 7-inch. And then one day, like a video of that whole show popped up on YouTube, and it's shot at it's like from CBGBs, and it's like shot from above, so it's like not in the crowd, and it's like a perfect view of everything.
Ooh.
And I seriously, I can watch that show like I do watch that show like probably 3 to 5 times a year.
It's just that one that brings you back every time.
It does. Because I wasn't at the show, and it was just seeing even the crowd. It's just like a time capsule of like
Yeah.
of the New York hardcore scene in that moment, because it was like 1990, so it was before I really started going to like hardcore shows,
Right.
and I love that band, so it's really cool to see the energy and the crowd and see kind of familiar faces that you know from the scene that were there in the crowd.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like the cast of characters that wound up popping up.
Yeah.
That's so cool. You know, I was also really curious. I know that there's been so many bands in between, like, you know, like Stacia and Aerotype 11 kind of wrapping up, and like to now, like, are there any bands that you've played with or that you've seen recently, kind of similarly to like what we were talking about with Pleasure Pill, where there's like a newer band where you've seen like newer bassists or guitarists that just really like the way they watch, or really like watching them, or really like the way that they play?
Yeah, I mean, we got to play with Jerome's Dream for the first time. At least it was my first time. Sasha might have played with them after I had left the band when they were, you know, when they were still a band for like, you know, 6 or 7 months before breaking up.
Right.
But my first time playing with them, and actually before we played that show, they came to San Diego, and I went to see them play it at this club called Soda Bar.
Oh, sick, yeah.
I was really blown away by Sean's playing, you know, just like on a level of like his sound and just his like stage presence. He's like so fun to watch when he plays. He's got this like bouncy move that he does that's so fun. And yeah, I don't know, like that. And then like literally a week later we played with them down at the Fest in Gainesville, Florida. They played right before us, and they were great. And so I really enjoyed watching him play. And then Scott from Def Club on drums is just a fucking maniac. And he also plays in a really great band that we played with in Texas called Glassing. And just watching him play drums is just like, he's the kind of drummer that just makes you want to quit whatever instrument you play because he's so good at just his instrument, you know?
I could see that. Like, I Glassing is really sick. I'm a huge Glassing fan. I've seen been lucky enough to catch Def Club a few times, and the way he plays drums, I actually don't understand. I think it's like,
Yeah.
you know.
It's crazy. And he's just like smiling the whole time and playing these insane, like I just don't know how he does it. But yeah, he's like just a fun musician to watch play.
Oh man, that's so cool.
So not really like I guess newer musicians or bands, but just like over the past, during this time of playing with, so many really great bands, those are just two that pop in my head of like who I've enjoyed, like watching them play their instrument.
I mean, I gave you a wide range to work with, and I think, I mean, Sean's like newer to drum stream overall, so
Right.
I will count it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, we're fans of that for sure, and definitely everyone should check out Blasting because they are actually super sick.
They're a great band. Great band. And like the fact that we got to play with them just in this past February in Austin, they were so good.
So I mean, I guess on that note, like, do you have like a favorite show or tour memory, like, you know, with any band really that you like when you think of like when you think back fondly on your time like playing music on the road?
I will say the show, I'll keep it to Seisha, because I feel like that's why, if anyone's listening, that's why they're listening. But I would say the show, we our LA show at this club called 1720 Warehouse, was out of like my 20 plus years of playing shows, and that was probably one of the greatest shows I've ever played.
Yeah.
That like that like I don't know what it was. There was some like magic or energy, not to sound all hippie or whatever, but like whatever was going on in the room that night, like, was just, I've never experienced anything like that.
That's so.
So, I mean, all the shows, like every, I'm not discounting, like, there's not been, I'm gonna knock on wood right now, but there's not been any clunkers that we've played, you know, since doing these. Like, all the shows have been great. All of them have been special for different reasons. But something about that one show, the only thing that sucked about that show was Colin fucked up his knee like 2 nights before at our California show at Gilman in Berkeley. Like 10 seconds into the first song, like something like popped in his knee, and he basically had to play the next three shows on that California run sitting in a chair. So that was like the one bummer about, you know, that run of shows, because I just felt bad for him, especially like that LA show was the biggest show we ever played. And you know, he had to sit down for it. And Colin likes to go crazy when he plays.
He's a
So
man. He's a man of movement.
he is of many movements. So yeah, I felt really bad for that. Was like the one bummer about that show. But other than that, it was, for me, like, I'm not gonna speak for anyone else in the band, that was like my favorite show.
No, I mean that totally tracks. I think I'm sure LA knows how to show it out. Not to like, talk down on other cities and states, but California, Southern California knows how it is. You, I
Oh
mean,
yeah.
you've been here. Like, we show up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, show up, and like the energy is just insane.
Yeah, consistently, especially with like the newer scene and like the crop of kids who like maybe found you in the like the last few years, like
Yeah, I mean, that's all it is. I mean, there was someone at that show, this couple that brought their daughter to that show, and it
man.
was and her da and their daughter's name was Seisha. And they
Are
brought,
you
yeah,
wait,
no, it was,
really? I've not heard this story. That's crazy.
yeah, we've met two Seishas during this reunion
Holy
run.
sh!
One, I forget where the
Sorry.
first one was, but I know for sure there was the girl. I mean, this girl was maybe like 9 years old or 10 years old or something, and her parents brought her to the show. And then I got a message from someone on our Instagram with it was a picture of a baby, and they're like, meet baby Seisha. We welcomed her into the world yesterday at so and so time or whatever." And I was just like, "What? Holy
What?
shit.
Yeah, for
Wow."
real. I mean, how do you even respond to that? Like, what?
I mean, it's amazing,
Oh
like, you
yeah,
know.
truly an honor, sure. But man, that's so, I mean, that just goes to show, right? How deeply important and influential like Seisha is and like the work you've done is. Damn.
It blows my mind when I hear things like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can easily understand that. I'm everyone's thinking about it. Everyone's wondering. I know the band's been more active over the last few years. Like, like what's the story? Like, Seisha's back? Can we expect some non-classic Seisha material? Like, are you not at liberty to discuss? Like, anything you can tell us would be great.
I mean, we would love to say that, you know, there's potential for some new music. I will say that.
Okay.
But I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen.
Right.
If it happens, it's just very difficult. You know, we are five guys that live in different, you know, I'm on the West Coast. You know, two guys live in the same city, which is great, and then two guys don't, you know. So
Yeah,
it's
of
like,
course.
went for us to do anything, like, I can't stress it enough, like the fact that we have done the amount of shows that we've done since November of 2022 is like astonishing.
Oh yeah. We all were shocked.
Like, we literally thought we were doing one show at St. Vitus, and it's turned into, like, I don't know how many shows now. I've lost count. But and we get asked to do stuff all the time. And, if it was 25 years ago, we would be doing more stuff. But, we all have families and jobs and, careers and stuff. So it's really hard for us to get away. So, we want to, I will say, it's going to come to an end. Like, this isn't like we're back, and
No, of course.
it's, but I think all of us, there are places that all of us want to still play, and some things we want to do. So I think next year we would like to try to play more places outside of the States.
Yeah. People are hungry for it. Absolutely.
So yeah, I would like to there's places I want to go. So
That
I
makes sense.
we're going to try to make those happen if we can. Possibility for new music. I'm not, like I said, I'm not guaranteeing it, but if it happens, you're just going to find out the day that it's coming out. I will say
Okay. That's totally fair and valid. Thank you for humoring me in
that.
this way. And I will say that I think you guys going overseas would be huge. I mean, you guys are, I mean, I, you know, I'm trying not to like completely gas you up nonstop during this conversation, but the absolute like huge amount of influence like your band has, like, because when you said overseas, the first thing I actually thought of was like if you went to Malaysia, like you could shut that country down. Like the Malaysian screamo scene is very intense. It has a lot of really passionate people, and every single person who's probably in that scene started with Seysha. Like a large amount of that scene exists because of Seysha, I feel like.
It's funny you
And
say
like
that
their own
because
local bands, but
a couple of years ago, someone sent me a video of a band in Malaysia covering a Seysha song,
yeah.
and they sounded better than us.
The Malaysian screamo scene's crazy, but yeah, that's
But
super cool.
the number one request we get is South America, and the obviously the age-old joke of come to Brazil, right? But
Brazil,
that's a place I would love to go to South America. My number one dream place, which I've never gotten to play, is Japan.
oh man.
But apparently there's not a huge screamo scene in Japan, and it's very, very, very difficult to get over there and play shows. It's not like, we played two shows in London over the summer, and it was a few emails and we got it sorted out, This is like you need to be invited to Japan. Because I think they just take care of everything, and they so if they're going to spend, and apparently the permit, like the visas or whatever you need to play over there, become like more expensive. So I think promoters are just like, they want to know they have a guarantee of it being, successful, which I totally understand, but I'm still not giving up hope and
I mean,
trying to make it
yeah,
happen.
the Japanese screamo scene, it's the thing is the Japanese screamo and emo scene like kind of comes in waves. So like it'll come and go through different things because like you'll see a bunch of bands come out around the same time. Like I think a few years ago, like right before COVID, there was like a good resurgence of bands from like 2016 to 2019, like newer bands. And like right now, I think emo is the big thing over there. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the next year or two something kind of
Well, I know
crops up.
hardcore never goes away in Japan. Like, they
Oh no.
love,
Oh, they're,
like
yeah.
youth of today can go over there every week, and they'll pack shows every time.
Oh, they could have a residency there for a month, like easy. Like they love punk and hardcore over there. But I mean, maybe you'd be surprised because I was gonna ask actually. Like you mentioned earlier, like you guys thought you were coming back for one show. I mean, what was the kind of expectation? You're coming back for one show, and then it's like, shit, we have to book like five more shows if we're gonna even accommodate a fraction of the people that want to come. Like, how was that
Well,
part of the experience?
so Artie, who's one of the owners of St. Vitus, and he's also my bandmate in Aerotype 11 and like three other bands I've played in. The day the first show went on sale, he texted me and he's like, it sold out in 30 seconds. He's like, we got to do another show. And I was like, oh, okay. And then it's like, talk to the bands, like, are we gonna do another show? And it's like, okay. And then we do two, and then it's like, that sold out in 30 seconds. And then now people are starting to get pissed off because they're like, this is bullshit. This is like, bots. Like, there's no way I, it's like you have to understand, like, we did not like we heard that people, that there was some sort of interest in the band, but we had zero expectations of what the reaction was going to be. So, I mean, if we really, if we really knew, we would have maybe done one show at Vitus and then just done a way bigger, which we ended up doing. We did that matinee show at Le Poisson Rouge, which was great. But I just think, if we had the knowledge that we have now back when we were kind of putting this together, we might have done things a little bit differently. But I also think it makes for like just it made for a crazy, awesome, fun week too, you
Yeah,
know.
I was gonna say that must have
I
been an
felt bad
insane
for
7 days.
Billy. I mean, Billy had to hold his voice together for fuck five shows, and it was really rough. I mean, they're like by the, and there was one day where I think the show you went to, we had done the matinee that afternoon, and then we played a show at Vitus that night. So, it was rough for him, but thankfully the crowd did a fair amount of the work that, or helped him out, I should say. But I don't know. It's like we had no expectations, and it happened the way it happened. And I think after the Philly show was when, which was the last show of that run, it was pretty apparent that we were just getting along so well, and it was everyone had such a fun time, and it seemed like people, were into it. So I had walked up to Tom at the end of the night, and I'm like, so, like California next, and he was like, he was like, yeah, I think that would be fun. So, yeah, that was it. And then we just kind of been like, I've just been like, well, we should do this and we should do this. And what's so nice is that we don't do anything that if four people are super into an idea and one person for any reason isn't into it, it's just off the table. Nothing about this is like has to be, we do it, we're doing it when we can, when it's comfortable, on our time. And that's what I think has made it continually be fun, because like there's no pressure for anything. We're doing everything the way we want to do it.
And it doesn't have to be high stakes or like, we have to
No, not at
play this
all.
many shows and like that. Yeah, that's
Not at
good. I mean,
all. I
that's
mean,
how it started, right? Like, it wasn't supposed to be like a huge high
no.
pressure thing.
Oh no, exactly. And we're too old for it to be doing this and it be like stressful. If it's stressful, if it's not fun for a second, then none of us want to do it.
I mean, it's not, this is different from like the old rock bands who like get in fights with each other and shit. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, well, I guess that still happens in some places, but like,
No, this is just pure like, we still just, our text threads every day is just like just making each other laugh all day, pretty much, so sometimes I would, because I'm on the West Coast, I sometimes I wake up to like 30 WhatsApp messages that, and they're just going off and just busting on each other, and I'm just like, I got to catch up with everyone on what's happening.
Yeah, I believe that. That
Yeah.
totally makes sense. Well, thank you for cluing us in and letting us know all about that. We usually would have Rob ask like the next kind of portion of questions, but I know you've had a long and prolific career, but I mean, there must be like a band that you haven't played with quite yet that you would like really love to either share the stage with or
Well,
get to play in.
the dream band would be Rorschach, because I love that band so much, and they were kind of, I got to see them when they did a reunion in 2009, because I missed them when they were originally around, and I would love to share a stage with them. But I guess as I just don't think they're ever going to do shows again, so that won't happen. But if they were still doing shows, I'd be out for them to be like, can we please do a show together?
Yeah, that would be nuts.
But bands that I would love to play with that are active now, I would love to play a show with King Woman. I would love to play a show with Gouge Away, who've made my favorite record of this year.
That is an incredible record. That's
It
very
is
cool.
insane. I listen to it like 5 times a day, probably. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited because they're coming to San Diego next
I got a
month.
tour coming
So
through.
yeah,
Yes.
so I'm going to that for sure. Would love to play with Touche just because like Jeremy is a huge reason why we're here, and a big reason why w this is happening, you know. So
Yeah.
it would be great to share a stage with him. And then, you know, it'd be fun to play with Orchid too, just because, like, you know, we have the Chicago show coming up in a week and a half, and
Oh
that
God,
I
that's
put
right.
together with, you know, Page 99 and City of Caterpillar. And I just think, like, when I was putting that show together, like, my vision of it was like, well, we hadn't played Chicago yet, and I wanted to, I had this idea of like a Lollapalooza kind of thing, right? But of like the Lollapalooza of Screamo, or like the Big Four kind of thing. And the idea was to get these bands together and do like one show that people would kind of come to town for, like how Lollapalooza is now. You know, it used to be a traveling festival, and now it just happens once a year in Chicago. So I was like, oh, let's do something like that, but for this scene. And but at the time when I was putting it together, Orchid hadn't like announced anything yet. And I think there were like rumblings of them doing something, but and totally understandable, like they want to do their own thing, you know what I mean? Out the gate to play their own shows. But yeah, like if we can somehow pull some insane like Seisha, Orchid, Page 99, City of Caterpillar show together.
Sorry, my mic died on. Are you able to hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, all good.
Yeah, I mean, if you could pull off that ticket, that would be completely bananas. I'm sure plenty of people would fly from out of the country again to go see
Yeah,
that show.
it would just be fun to do like one kind of, I mean, we are doing it, you know, the show next week
Right.
is like insane, but just
Yeah.
out of bands that we haven't played with yet, like
Right.
since they're doing stuff and we're still doing stuff, like sure, why not? Like that'd be
Yeah.
fun.
Oh, it's gonna be so cool. And I really love Crowning. Like, Crowning is such a
Oh,
cool fucking band.
awesome band. I have to give Tom, really like Tom and Steve a lot of you know, when I'm like booking, when I'm putting these shows together, like I'm not that in touch with like kind of what's going on right now. And I love like because of those guys, like they have really introduced like the, you know, those two specifically are like, what about like I know this band, I know this band, and have really gotten like a lot of those bands on these shows with us. So yeah, I'm excited to see that band play.
Oh, it's gonna be so sick. You said Rorschach, but I kind of had a joke question here, which was if you could see one band do a reunion show, who would it be, and why is it Born Against?
And do you know what? That is exactly my answer. Like I've
Yeah.
really, really, really have seen pretty much everyone that I, you know, could have wanted to see.
Right.
But yes, Born Against is my number one because I never got to see them play, and I love that band. I never got to see Frail,
Oh shit. I don't
so
know
I.
if I don't know about that one. That would be a tough one.
And then there's a band that I don't think is very well known that I was introduced to back in the day, and I never got to see them. A band from Pennsylvania called Puritan.
I think I've heard the name. I know some archivist group have been drumming up that record, I feel like.
Yeah, and it's fucking insane. Like I've seen some like YouTube footage of them, and it just seems just been just totally nuts. So yeah, those three bands, if I can see those reunions, I would love to. But everything else, like I've been very lucky to see everything I could ever want to see.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's you've had such a cool like slot of time that you got to exist in. I mean, seeing Rorschach alone is like nuts. Even like,
Oh, it was great.
yeah, like
I got
that's
to see them twice during their little, like when they did these reunion shows, and they were amazing, but like amazing both times.
that's awesome. I mean, does it like kind of trip you out to think that like people are like saying the exact same thing about you guys?
Yeah, I can't like anything that involves like us, I can't really wrap my head around. It's still surreal to me, like every moment of this. Like, I don't take a second. I don't think any of us take a second of it for granted. We're just like so still, just every time we show up to a show and there's more than 20 people there, we're just like, what's going on?
So also, like, in kind of a similar vein as the previous question, if you could do like a guest vocal feature spot on like a track for like an artist you really like, it could be like a screamo band, non-screamo band, whoever. It can be super realistic, unrealistic. Like, who would it be and why?
You mean like me singing on
Like,
someone's
you get
track?
like, you know, like Bjork's dropping a new album and all, and
Right.
like, hey, look, there's Adam on it. Like, he did some vocal work on it. Like screaming, singing, whatever you want. Like, there's, you
No.
don't have like a fantasy feature.
No, I anything with vocals, I want people to be successful, and if they're going to have me on their track, it's definitely they're starting off in the wrong foot. So no, I've no ambition of singing on anyone's, you know, I can't even believe I screamed on Sesha songs on, you know, recorded Sesha songs. So, but yeah, there are
No.
people that I would like to the opposite. Like if, you know, I could imagine like guest vocals on like a Sesha song or,
Okay.
you know, but I can never myself
Right.
never want to sing on anyone else's stuff.
Yeah. No, that'd be really cool. So who would be like like on your wish list? Like if you, maybe not like, you know, for new music or anything, but like if you were like, it would be really cool if they came on during this part. During this song, like, is there anyone you have in mind particularly, or?
Do you know the band Super Unison?
I do, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so Megan, who's the singer of that band, I love her voice, and her scream is just incredible.
Yeah.
And just even when she's singing, like, just has a really cool. She reminds me of like Kim Gordon, Sonic Youth in like certain parts of songs.
Right.
So I would love to have her voice on something.
Right, I'm like I feel so bad because like I think my brain's shorting out, but I'm pretty sure Megan was also in Punch, right? Are you
I'm not
familiar?
sure. The first time I was aware of her was from Super Unison. And now she plays bass in King Woman as
Yeah.
well.
Okay. Yeah. She was in Punch, which if you haven't checked out Punch, I think if you like her scream, that's all of what she did in Punch. They're like a fastcore band.
Oh,
Basically,
cool.
that were kind of adopted by the screamo scene because we're like, you play fast and loud and you scream, like you're with us now. So yeah, like Punch, and they shared members with Loma Prieta, who
Oh, cool.
yeah, you know, like Sean's other band,
Yeah.
like original band, or I'm not sure how to refer to that now. It feels weird because it's like Loma Prieta was like this legendary band for me, but it's like now he's in Drum's Dream, and so it's like
But is he
that's.
still playing in Loma as well?
I mean, Loma's been playing shows, so I'm assuming he, because he's like a core member,
Okay.
and I mean, they have a tour coming up around ZBR too, I think, Zagreb Beach Records Fest, which is also, I don't know if anyone's aware, like made you aware of this fact, like there's like an insane run of like screamo stuff happening between your like the genesis of your shows in Chicago up until like the Orchid shows. So it's like that weekend where you're playing with Page 99. Page 99 has a little tour going on too.
Right, yeah, I know about that.
Yeah. And then the following weekend is Zegama Beach Records Fest. Like the weekend right after, like leading up to that week is like more insane screamo stuff happening, which is like a huge festival.
And where is that happening?
Also in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's thrown on by Zegama Beach Records, which is shout out Dave's, both of you. And they are like the buoy that kept the scene alive when it was like real quiet and like bands were finding like kind of breaking up and going away, and the few people who were like really dedicated didn't really have any avenues to like advertise because all the blogs died. Like they were the candle in the dark for a long time, and so they deservedly have like a huge festival that everyone loves, and like that's going to be super crazy, and like bands
Nice.
from out here are like going, like they're touring their way to Zagreb Beach Records, and then weekend after that are the Orchid shows.
Wow.
So if you are incredibly wealthy and you love screamo, you're about to have a hell of an end of April, early May,
And zero in your bank
and
account.
zero in your bank account. Yeah, I'm a dummy, and I decided to impulse buy Orchid tickets. So I'm coming to see you guys play with Page 99 in
Oh, you're coming to
Chicago.
that show?
Yeah, I am, because I'm
Awesome.
I don't know, I'm irresponsible with my money, and then I am going to Orchid, and then I was like, should I just like quit my job and just live in Chicago for like the next 3 weeks?
Chicago's a great city.
It is, and I really want to go to CBR, but that is not happening, fortunately now. But it's just like crazy that I guess the point I wanted to make, and to see what maybe you thought about, because I know you just mentioned like Tom and Steve are more plugged into that, but like, I mean, as you're playing these shows, you're meeting these bands, you're talking to people, like, have you seen just like how big it's all getting? Like how much it's become more and more and feeling fuller in like the way it all is, like, and like how you felt about that or
Like
feel
in
that.
the, like the scene itself.
Like the screamo scene, like the adjacency of
Yeah.
DIY
I
punk
mean,
and
there's
hardcore.
definitely, I mean, the amount of young people that are at our shows is just insane. So like obviously there's something happening. It's not just, a bunch of 50-year-olds, with their arms crossed at our show.
Right.
It's young, passionate people that are that have discovered this music, and I'm not saying just Seisha, I'm just saying like this music in general, and seem really excited about it, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's super cool to see it all.
It's so great to meet, I love meeting people at the shows and just like just hearing their experiences with the music and not just our music, but the scene in general, and like it's been so great to just hear everyone out with what they have experienced so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's rad because like, you're band is like the gateway band that brings people into the space, and like it does so much for so many people. It's like a really important pillar of that. And it's just, I don't know, it's just like crazy to think of how different things are now versus like a decade ago. And it's just wild and rad. And like, a room full of kids will get climb on top of each other to get in Billy's face about One Dying Wish. And that's just like, that's just the coolest thing on the planet.
Yeah, Billy definitely gets a lot of people opening up to him because he wrote these lyrics that mean so much to people, and I'm just the one of the guitar players, so I'm kind of like, no one's talking to me about lyrics, which is understandable. So I think he really is kind of feeling a lot of it, that things that we're not getting, from the crowd.
Yeah, that directness, which may, I
Yeah.
mean, it's understandable. Like the work you did on like those records, like splits, like all that stuff, like during your time there, like it's what made Seisha what it is, like in a number of ways. So like,
Thanks, man.
no, I mean, it's true. Like, I mean, who, I mean, anyone who says that they've sure cried to the lyrics of a Seisha song have also probably heard like post Lapsaria and like been moved to tears in some way, or like from the firmament and been like just really like stirred in a different way and made like art that they wanted to make or something. There's a lot spurred forward. So just important to remember. Anyway, no more. Sorry.
No, you're fine, man. I
Keep pivoting
appreciate
back to
that.
that. So this is the more jokey, fun, like these are like kind of more freewheeling kind of questions that we like to ask because
Okay.
we like to run the gamut of like the emotional and the silly. And Rob would usually ask these, but one of our favorites is, what's the most illegal or dangerous thing you've ever done that you're willing to admit on a recorded podcast?
Man, I've done so much stupid shit during my life. Nothing really, like, I don't think I've done anything really illegal. I mean, probably the most dumb thing was when I was 13, I found a dead body with my friends.
Holy
And
shit.
in that moment, we got so freaked out. We were right next to the Long Island Expressway, which is a highway in New York, and we ran pretty much onto it because we were just like, we found it near it and we were just so freaked out. So that was probably not a smart move to run onto a highway.
I mean, understandable that like you would see that and like be immediately like upset and want to get out of
Yeah,
there.
yeah, yeah. So,
Yeah, what should have happened in Stand By Me, but didn't actually
right. It
happen.
was a it was a very it was the Queen's version of Stand By Me.
Okay, damn, that's crazy. So assuming you're not a pacifist and without any repercussions of any kind, if you could punch anyone in the face right now as hard as you possibly fucking could, who would it be and why? Love that question. It always gives people pause.
Oh, because I'm not a violent person at
Right. Which,
all.
if you're a pacifist or you're not violent, you feel free to pass on the
I
question. We
mean,
don't
there's
want.
so many people that, yes, deserve to be punched in the face, but I guess I would punch the singer of Lost Prophets in the face.
Ooh, wow. That's a good one. I've never heard something quite like that. That's, yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, God.
And if anyone doesn't know why, just Google singer of Lost Prophets and you'll find out why.
Yeah, but don't read the whole thing for sure. God, yeah, that's when you said that, the first thing that popped in my head wasn't like, I wonder if he's still alive. It was like, oh God, I hope he's dead.
Well, I don't think he's doing too well for a good
Good.
reason.
He shouldn't be. But yeah, that's a fantastic answer.
Awesome.
I haven't gotten a super good one like that in a while. No offense, everyone, but it's a lot of like Trumps, like understandably we've gotten Netanyahu and like
Yeah.
things like that
Yes.
recently.
Sign me up for those too, but I
Yeah.
mean,
Yeah, no, that dude 100%.
yeah.
Yeah.
And there could be repercussions to that one. I wouldn't give a shit.
I think the repercussion would be people would throw you a party. If you, I mean, a lot of people don't believe in this, I'm one of them, but if you listen to anything that could be considered a guilty pleasure, like is there any music that you listen to that could be considered shameful or cringy that you like really enjoy?
Oh, so much. But I guess the number one, which I've been made fun of for 30 years now, is probably 311.
Damn, okay, you're 311 or two?
Well, I mean, it's not like I listen to them all the time now, but
Right,
like
right.
in the, in 1993, when I first, 92 or 93, when I first heard them, I mean, yeah, and like I still think those first few records are great.
You belong in Southern California. And anyone who's outside of Southern California doesn't get it. Like, I didn't know that people
No,
actually
but
did.
this has been a problem for me since I lived in New York, and
Yeah, that's what I'm
I
saying.
mean,
Like, you're home. Like,
yeah,
you, I
but
mean.
like you said, like I also don't give a shit, like I think if any sort of music puts a smile on your face for whatever the reason is, like who cares, like doesn't really matter. So
No.
yeah, I still occasionally will throw on a 311 record. Yeah,
I
that's, I
haven't.
mean, I know a lot of people would, I mean, and for good reason, probably that is cringy, shameful, or whatever, but yeah, that's mine.
Hopefully, this opens people up. I have a very strong suspicion that a lot of people who hate 311 are actually just like closeted 311 fans, to be honest. Because the vibes are super great. And like, honestly, Amber is like an all-time track, in my opinion. So.
And really, if you are listening to Turnstile and you're bagging on 311, I mean, you got to really take a hard look at yourself. And I love Turnstile,
Yes, me too.
and maybe that's why I love Turnstile.
Yeah. No, that tracks. So yeah, everyone should actually take a good hard look in the mirror if you're gonna hit on 311. That was awesome. That's really funny. So I know we're a few years into 2024, so like I'm probably gonna ask about that too, but I was wondering if you had like an album either from 2023 or like that you discovered in 2023 that you'd like call your album of the year. Like the one you just got the most play out of.
Probably Czarface, Zartificial Intelligence.
That's
That's
pretty
that was
sick.
like my favorite record of the year. I also re of last year, and I've also really loved the Last Angel Dust record. Is awesome too.
Okay. Oh yeah, for sure. That one's a sick one. Czarface, I actually don't think I've spent much time with. That's
Are you a hip hop fan?
I am. I am.
Okay,
I haven't. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
are you a Wu-Tang fan?
I am a Wu-Tang fan, but I'm like a original albums Wu-Tang fan. I'm not very much a individual works.
Okay.
Only Built for Cuban Links.
Amazing record.
Yeah, and Liquid Swords. That's the breadth of my knowledge.
Okay.
They're bangers, but.
I mean, I grew up on hip hop, grew up in New York, so But Czarface for me is like the best hip hop I've heard in 20 plus years. Like all of their records are incredible. It's Inspect the Deck from Wu-Tang Clan, and this DJ 7L and Esoteric, which is just some dude from Boston, and like the three of them form this band Czarface, and it's incredible.
That's awesome. Okay, so like as a huge hip hop fan, like what do you think are some of your top records? Like hip hop records? Like do you have any that you'd
Oh,
recommend to people?
yes, A Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory for sure.
Definitely. I'm a huge Tribe guy. Like that was my branch of the hip hop more than
Yes.
Wu-Tang.
Ghostface Killah, Iron Man, or Supreme Clientele, both incredible records. What else? There's so many.
It's tough.
Every De La Soul record, incredible. I mean, I'm from like the, what's called like the golden age of hip hop, which
Right.
is like what I think is like the best hip hop. I was never so much into West Coast stuff. Like I like a few Tupac songs or whatever, but like it's never done it for me. Like I was always more like Mobb Deep, Wu-Tang, Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, EPMD, Eric B. and Rakim, like those, like all that stuff was my stuff.
Yeah, which I mean, it makes sense. There was this really like,
Biggie, obviously.
right. There was this like unknown quantity in like New York at the time that like hip hop just made it so different. I mean, at West Coast it just all turned into G-funk at a certain point, which like for better or for worse, that's kind of
And
what
there's,
happened.
those songs come on, like, I'm not turning off a Dre or Snoop song, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
They're great, but I just never connected with that side of hip hop the way I did, like the grittier or like the movement of like the whole De La Soul Tribe Called Quest thing, which was like a little bit more fun, a little bit more weird,
Yeah,
and
the
then
whole Native Tongues thing.
Native Tongues and Digable Planets is a huge band for me as well. Which is more like pulling from like the jazzier
Yeah.
stuff, so.
Right. Okay, that's rad. Nice. Everyone should actually listen to 3 Feet High and Rising and Low End Theory and Enter the
Yes.
36 Chambers. That's like actually that's a I don't want to be the guy that's like, you have homework, but like that's homework.
That
Please.
is homework. And if
Please.
you want just one record, like that Czarface meets Ghostface record is up there with all of those like classic records to
Oh
me.
shit, okay.
Yeah. So if you're gonna start somewhere, start with that one.
Oh shit. All right, for sure. Damn. I guess I better go back to
Yeah,
that.
you have homework
I
tonight.
got homework. Yeah. See, I also got homework, so. So what do you think so far? I mean, I'm not gonna be like, what's your favorite album of 2024, but is there anything you've heard so far this year? It sounds like the Gouge Away record
The
for
Gouge
sure.
Away record's my
And
number
like that's
one.
just like it, right? There's nothing else that you've heard, maybe?
Yeah, Jay Robbins from Jawbox put out a really amazing solo record this year. Shit, what else have I been listening to? The new Mets record is great. That just
Okay.
came out last Friday, but I'm just slowly kind of getting into that. It's really been all the Gouge Away record. I've just been like on, I've been going hard on that record, so
Yeah.
I'll probably give that a break soon, just
Yeah.
because I don't want to overdo it. But
Right. Do you play
yeah,
it at the
that
shop at all?
sometimes it's hard at work because I have six other barbers working and try to keep everyone,
Right.
sometimes we'll have like a nu metal day, which is just funny, like we'll throw on
Yeah.
like a Limp Bizkit channel, and then
Right.
but then there's we really mix it up. Like some days we're listening to country or jazz, or and like old country, like you
Right.
not like
Yeah.
you know what I mean.
Yeah, not the Millionaire Rancher
Right,
radio
yeah,
anymore.
no, so but mostly it's kind of just like alternative rock or hip hop in here is mostly what, because it's kind of like everyone can agree on that.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Because I know, I mean, you know, when you have a, sorry, this is like not a question really, I guess, but like, you know, when you have like an environment that's built, especially like as a business owner, right? Like, do you feel like that kind of is like the alternative rock hip hop? That's what we all agree on. That's also kind of like the personality you get a little bit when you come into the shop. Do you think that that is an accurate statement?
No, I mean, I really think, like, for the most part, we'll play that stuff, but like, we really do mix it up a lot of the time.
Okay.
And we get a comment of that, clients will comment on that a lot, like, oh, it's like, I haven't heard, this is cool. Like, you're usually playing something like this, but like, it's nice to hear this. And so we really do try to mix it up as much as possible.
Okay, very cool. So I feel free to pass on this if you don't feel comfortable, but like what do you think is your most unpopular music take? Like if you said this out loud on stage at the Stacia show, people would start like hucking tomatoes, like that kind of thing.
I think I just said it before with 311.
I guess that's true. That's like a 2-on-1,
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, I guess for one thing that I'm really have tried so many times over the years to get into because I have so many friends that love them and I just cannot get into it is the Grateful Dead.
That's fair.
I've really, really tried because I'm super open to all types of music and I just cannot get it. And every time, are you a Grateful Dead fan?
I can appreciate what the Grateful Dead have done and do for guitar music.
Sure.
I'm not gonna sit there and
But
listen to an 8-hour bootleg.
okay, well, that's what I was going to say. Every Grateful Dead fan, when you tell them that you don't like the Grateful Dead, the response every single time is, no. You need to listen to New Paltz in 1968. That's the show. That's going to, and I'm just like, and I can't do it. Like I've tried and it just hasn't hit me yet, but I'm not going to give up because so many people I love and respect, like love the Grateful Dead. And yeah, so it just hasn't hit me yet. I'm just going to say it hasn't hit me yet, but it isn't, I feel like it's an unpopular, it's like a take of just like, really the dead? Like you don't like the dead,
Yeah,
but
like who doesn't like the Dead? It's like,
me.
yeah, right. It's like, I get it. Like, it's, I don't know what it is. There's just something about it. Like, and I like long form
Yeah.
rock music. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's because they're doing helium or doing whippets in the parking lot. I don't know what it is. It's something that weirds me out about that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that was a good one. I also love I appreciate the Grateful Dead, but I also really enjoy talking shit on the Grateful Dead. I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not trying to talk shit. I'm just saying I have not gotten into them and I'm
No. Yeah. No. I'm just to be clear, I'm talking shit on the Grateful Dead because I think
okay.
it's funny. But yeah, no, I know you are not. You're being open-minded and waiting for the right show, man. You know what? Have you tried Newport 79, dude? Like
I
that's
haven't. Send it to me.
I
I'll
will,
be part of
man.
my homework.
It's a 3 terabyte download because it's a 7-day jam.
My computer's gonna explode.
Yeah, basically. You need to buy a new one actually just for this set. So one of our final questions we like to ask is if you could give the world a gift in some form, what would it be and why?
I feel like any answer to this is just comes off as like super Hallmark cheesy, So
I mean, we get some good ones, and like I think things feel cheesy because earnestness feels uncomfortable for people, is what I've
yeah,
realized.
I mean the world is so beyond fucked. I don't know, I guess just giving if I can give I would give everyone the highest level of like understanding, and openness because I feel like everyone is just so judgmental. And if everyone was just a little bit more open and to different cultures, different people, people that aren't exactly them, I feel like the world would have a lot less problems.
Yeah, and I think that's a great answer, and I don't think it's cheesy. And the reason is because there's so many people who think that they're finished doing the work, right, of being open-minded and being accepting, and especially like in scenes like ours, the work still needs to be done. There's still a cop in your head that still needs to be killed. Like that's we, it's ongoing work, and I think it's really important. So I think that is not a cheesy answer. I think that's a great answer.
Well, I mean world peace. I mean,
Right.
of course that would be great, but like I think it starts with everyone, doing their part and yeah.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Adam, seriously, thank you so much for coming on and talking with me and answering all my questions and letting me just ramble at random points. I really appreciate you coming on. I really appreciate your work.
Thank you
And
so much. I
of course,
appreciate you having me.
yeah, definitely. So this last part of the podcast is completely for you. If you have any shout outs you want to give, any plugs, if you want to plug your business or if you want to plug your other projects, or if there's any causes that are really important to you, near and dear to your heart that you want to speak on, this space is completely for you to advocate for all that stuff.
Shout out to my wife for being so supportive of me and being cool with me going out and doing this stuff and being just super supportive and holding down the house and the kids while I'm go away for a weekend to scream into a microphone and make stupid faces. She knows it's important to me to, music is my passion, and so giving me the space to do that's been awesome. I guess shout out to my bandmates for being hilarious and making me laugh every day, even when I'm having a bad day. And yeah, check out if you're in San Diego and need a haircut, come to Gold Comb, and either me or one of super talented barbers will take care of you. And check out my band Attempt Survivors and follow us on Instagram and check us out on all streaming services. And might not be your thing, but I appreciate the support.
All right, awesome. Again, Adam, thank you so much for coming on, and we're really looking forward to, what you guys have for us next and what other music projects you bring to us next.
Thank you so much.